And good morning. In for Elizabeth Harrison, I'm Chuck Hinman in Providence. If the partial government shutdown goes on much longer, it could impact people's ability to buy real estate. Most lenders require IRS verification of income, and with the IRS skeletonized due to the partial government shutdown, that could take time. Victoria Duran is the president of the Rhode Island Association of Realtors. She says it hasn't been a problem yet, but if the shutdown continues much longer, it will be.
We as realtors certainly are a little dismayed because, you know, we're finally in the road to recovery here and another hiccup. But we'll proceed and preserve and, you know, educate our members, and hopefully we'll be able to weather the storm and it will pass quickly.
Some lenders are approving mortgages without IRS income verification, but they do it at their own risk. Portsmouth police are investigating the death of a 56-year-old woman who apparently shot herself in her home over the weekend during a 26-hour standoff with multiple law enforcement agencies. Authorities have not released the woman's name. Police say the standoff began at about 1:15 on Friday afternoon. Negotiators with state police and Newport police were called in to help. The woman was found dead of the apparent self-inflicted wound on Saturday afternoon when a state police tactical unit entered the house after no one answered negotiators' phone calls. Rhode Island state senators will get an update later this week on the state's new health insurance marketplace, HealthSource RI. Christine Ferguson is the program's director. She will brief lawmakers on Wednesday at 4 p.m. in the Senate lounge. The informational session is designed to help senators address questions from their constituents about HealthSource RI. Your image of a librarian may be changed soon. At least that is the hope of Rhode Island's librarians. They have embarked on an effort to shake up their image with a calendar for 2014. The calendar's title, Tattooed Librarians of the Ocean State. It's being released by the Rhode Island Library Association. It features 12 librarians and their tattoos and is selling for $12 on the group's website. The group also hopes the calendar will raise awareness at a time when library budgets are being cut. In sports, Red Sox beat the Tigers at Fenway 6-5 last night, powered by a late-inning Grand Slam home run by David Ortiz. The ALCS tied up now at a game apiece, Game 3 in Detroit tomorrow night. Earlier in the evening in Foxborough, the Patriots beat the Saints on a Tom Brady touchdown pass with 5 seconds left in the game. Final score 30-27.
Rhode Island has for more than a century lived in the long shadow of Massachusetts. Boston's a world-class city clotted with universities, clusters of high technology innovation, venture capital, and some of the world's top medical centers. Massachusetts is the birthplace of presidents, U.S. House speakers, and Supreme Court justices. It has the Major League Red Sox, Bruins, Celtics, and Patriots. Rhode Island has the minor league teams, the Paw Sox and the P. Bruins. Rhode Island has fine educational institutions, but not as many as Massachusetts. Massachusetts is home to universal health care and the highest achievement test scores in the country for its public school students. Rhode Island's struggling to put into effect its Obamacare marketplace, and our public schools don't score as high as our neighbor. Rhode Islanders have long had an inferiority complex, and we often point to the economy. The unemployment rate, a universal economic measure, is at 7.2% in the Bay State and 9.1% in the Ocean State. This leads to the usual political blame game. Rhode Island's behind goes this trope because our politicians aren't forward-looking and smart like those in Massachusetts. Even such a savvy entrepreneur as Alan Tier, co-founder of BetaSpring, a business startup program based in Providence, spouts this line. Public officials, Tier told the Providence Journal, quote, can use the bully pulpit much more effectively to talk about entrepreneurship as a big idea. In constituent politics, that's often lost. Tier goes on to say that Governor Deval Patrick and Boston Mayor Tom Menino have put enormous emphasis on innovation and entrepreneurship, and as a result, Boston and Massachusetts as a whole are thriving. Really. Yes, the Boston economy inside Route 128 is strong. It's one of the 5 or 6 places in the world where new ideas are born. But have you driven through Fall River or New Bedford recently? The ancient granite and red brick mills that churned out rolls of cotton and finished textile products, stand as gloomy reminders of what they once were. The fishing industry's in the doldrums, and neither city has a major college or university to serve as a fulcrum of future growth. Fall River's unemployment rate is 12.3%. New Bedford's is 13.1%. Both are higher than any Rhode Island community. Truth be told, a look inside the Massachusetts education data shows that the state has many of the same challenges as Rhode Island: how to close the yawning chasm in student achievement between wealthy communities and poor ones. According to the latest test results of the MCAS test required for high school graduation, the wealthiest communities are the top scorers. The lowest scorers are such poor communities as New Bedford, Fall River, Lawrence, and Springfield. A study by Citizens for Public Schools, a Boston-based think tank, shows that while Massachusetts is indeed atop the national charts for the National Assessment of Educational Progress test, the state ranks in the bottom tier among states in progress towards closing the achievement gap for Black, Hispanic, and low-income students. Unlike Rhode Island, Massachusetts state government has for two decades made big investments in education, both in kindergarten through high school and also in public higher education. When the recession hit in 2008, the response of Rhode Island Governor Donald Carcieri in our General Assembly was to cut income taxes for the highest earners and slash state aid to cities and towns. Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick and the Bay State Legislature did just the opposite, raising the sales tax by 1.25% to avoid starving cities of state money. Massachusetts has over the years avoided some of the dumb policies followed by Rhode Island's politicians, the 38 Studios Curt Schilling fiasco being only the most recent. Maybe you think the Bay State's doing better because it has fewer public employees and less state bureaucracy. Again, not so. Rhode Island has the second fewest government workers among the 50 states as a share of all employees, according to a New York Times analysis of federal government data. Massachusetts has a better educated and healthier workforce and substantially fewer children being raised in poverty, according to figures compiled by Rhode Island Kids Count. And the Bay State has made more investments in transportation projects than the Ocean State. Rhode Island's political and economic leaders have too often looked for silver bullets, whether it's the Schilling deal or the conservative flavor of the week, severe cuts in state sales taxes. The Carcieri income tax cuts didn't jumpstart the economy. Is there any reason to believe that getting rid of sales taxes will accomplish anything? The fact is, Rhode Islanders who are well-educated and work hard are doing about as well as their Massachusetts colleagues. When will Rhode Island wake up to the reality that change is incremental and there really isn't any substitute for investing in the basics, education, and infrastructure?